Good afternoon. This is Connie Hunter kicking off another community conversation show for KCIW, Curry Community Radio. My producer and tech guy extraordinaire is Jim Newman, and our guest today is Julie Schmelzer, Director of Administration and Economic Development for Curry County. We're excited to talk to you today, Julie. Tell me a little bit about yourself to get us going here.
Well, first of all, I'm really excited to be here and speak with you. I love the area, and I'm really glad that I can share what I know with your listeners. I came to the area in October. I came from Wisconsin, moved to the Brookings area, and now moved north a little bit. I'm in the Pistol River area, but I am enjoying your weather. My father called me to tell me that there were 21 days below zero last month, and I was so grateful I was in Curry County.
You gotta love that. We had a couple conversations, and I knew you'd move from Wisconsin, so I was excited to have you here. The first time we had a talk, I was just so revved up that you came. Can you tell me a little bit about why you wanted to come to Curry County, besides the weather?
Oh, sure. Well, there's a boy involved in this story somewhere. I had vacationed here about 5-6 years ago, and I fell in love with the area, specifically Harris Beach. And I told myself that when my son was out of high school, I was going to move back to the area. My son is not out of high school, but my mother passed away 2 years ago. And I come from a line of short lifespans, so I decided life is too short, go and do it now. So we packed up and we moved out here. And he is doing some virtual online schooling, and I'm working for the county, of course. It happened to be good timing on my part because I was looking for a job in this area, in the coastal area, and one in Curry County opened up and I interviewed for it. So it's just a blessing in disguise. It was perfect timing. I'm meant to be here.
And I think it's a blessing in disguise for Curry County, too. The challenges of economic development for a county that is virtually sitting at the edge of a fiscal crisis, obviously you like challenges.
Right.
So I'm excited about this interview. So, just for our listeners, a baseline, what are the basics of economic development? What do you consider the basics?
The basics of economic development are basically we have to have what we call BRNE, business retention and expansion. And that's our number one thing that we look at. And basically what that means is we don't want to lose any of our businesses, not one of them. We can't afford to. And we want to help them expand if at all possible. We are working with a group, the South Coast Development Council, that is doing some business surveying of our existing businesses to see if there's more that we can do or should do. And we also want to help them expand, not just physically, but also where they're doing their market. We want to help them, if they can export, we want to be able to step in and help them grow that and export. We have a lot of small businesses, so we have a lot of opportunities because the number one exporter, according to the research that I've seen, is small businesses. So if we can get our small businesses doing more export, even out of the state, it's going to help boom our economy. The second part of that would be small business development. We want to help any business get started. We have great innovation factors for our area, meaning we have very creative people. So what we have to do is embrace that and be a risk-taking society and encourage people to take the chance and start a small business. And then we all need to shop local and support them or provide that service locally. And then the third part of it is attraction. And that's the difficult part for an isolated county where you can only get in from the north or the south. It's really hard to attract a major industry when you have to drive so far, or when you don't have the infrastructure or natural gas, for example, or perhaps enough health care. They become challenges in attracting a business, but those are the three basics of economic development.
And I'm going to ask another question about attraction. What kinds of things can we do to attract businesses? I know that there's a whole committee about economic development and technology. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, there's a lot we can do, I think. I will start with the task force, which I think you're talking about. We do have a strategic technology and economic development task force, And they are looking at ways to optimize the fiber optic loop that runs through the area. And they are a great group. They're very energetic. They put together a list of ideas for the county to pursue that would use the fiber optic. And just some examples are, you know, the idea of call centers. If you have a tier one call center, you don't need a you really don't need a skill set at all to be in a tier one call center. So what a great way to employ people that maybe have no high school degree or a GED or, you know, perhaps in their early retirement years. Call center, they're basically plug and play shops, so to speak. So it's not like you need a big fancy building or anything. They could, depending on the size of them, they can locate in any one of our cities. And there's plenty of available space for them. So that's one of the things that the group, you know, researched and looked into. We did look at data centers as well. Data centers bring in a lot of money. We do have one benefit of our area for our data center, and that is we're a little cooler. So, you know, the cost of keeping the equipment cool in a data center would be lower. But data centers are very expensive, and the likelihood of having more than one or more than one, it, you know, it gets, those chances go down due to the cost involved in a data center. Probably the biggest thing that came out of that group, though, is the idea of trying to attract remote workers. We know that people down in the Silicon Valley, or even where I came from, you know, you drive 2-3 hours to work and you think nothing of that. We want people to say, I want to come live in Curry County, look out at the ocean, and work remotely to my office just via my computer. We have the infrastructure. There's no reason why they can't be doing it. We just need to promote it and advertise it. But one of the things that becomes challenging with that is the fact that we want to attract them and we want to have a good place for them to enjoy. You know, we want to have cultural opportunities. We want to have good-looking communities. We want to make sure we're welcoming. And that's where I think we need probably a little bit more work before we can really become some big attraction area. But we know that people are working remotely here now. They're coming now. So why not just capitalize on that and keep inviting them in? It's good for the economy.
Well, that definitely is a trend. I know a lot of people that do work remotely, and I know a lot of people that are interested in developing that too. So that's good news to hear. I have one quick question back to the basics. Why is it so important to grow our economy here at the coast?
Oh, Connie, in Curry County, you're looking at a per capita income of almost $24,000. That's not very much. The median household income is just a little over $39,000. So that means our average house basically is under $40,000 a year. That's not good. Compared to Oregon as a state, they're at a little over $50,000 per household. We're in a little better shape than Del Norte County. Del Norte, to the south of us, their per capita is $19,000, and their medium household income is $37,000, a little over $37,000. Their medium household income is quite a bit higher. It's at $61,000. So between Curry and Del Norte is, you know, they've definitely have a higher poverty rate. Things are a little better in Curry County. But growing the economy is the only way we're going to help people get out of that situation. You know, we want people to have a quality of life. We want them to have money that they can circulate in the economy and grow that economy, which in turn brings in tax revenue, pays the bills. You know, it's a cycle is what it is, but we need to grow the economy so we can continue to function as a county, so we can provide the adequate quality of life for our people, and basically to capitalize on what we have here, which is a beautiful coast, and, you know, the people are here. They're going to come here. They need services. They need food. We need to take care of them.
You know, you brought up an interesting point there where community development and economic development go hand in hand. Do you feel the same way? I've always felt that, and I've seen that in developing, and I've lived in multiple small town and small county areas in the country.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, Connie. You know, we are in an area where the reality is our biggest economic asset is the tourism industry. Community development has to go hand in hand in this situation. And I'll give you a really good example. I was at a meeting and somebody was talking about some graffiti and what are we going to do to get rid of the graffiti? And I was thinking, oh my God, what an opportunity. We could engage our youth, get them being creative. Can you imagine if you had rules in place for the graffiti, you know, to encourage it, but in a positive fashion? Imagine the people that would attract to the area. You would have people coming from all parts of the county, the region, and if you did it well enough, you know, other states to come and see this kid graffiti that we have. I mean, it's just community development it's important that, you know, you have the good-looking buildings and the streetscaping and all of that good stuff that goes with community development, but it goes so much further in that you have to have the community engagement and creative class that I know that you're passionate about as well. And I think that together, you know, that's all part of community development, and it has to go hand with economic development when you're in a tourism economy.
And I grasp that concept because that's public art. If you were to capture that graffiti, you're actually capturing a way to have public art and engaging youth in a positive way. We know that part of what happens in small counties is we lose a lot of our young people. They go to school elsewhere. They aren't able to get jobs. Part of the way to keep our community and our county from hollowing out is to have those things of engagement. So of course, the arts and culture are a huge part of that. So thanks for bringing that up. Julie, who are the Curry County partners in your economic development efforts?
Well, we work with Del Norte County to the south. We work with them on some matters because the reality is we have a lot of people from Curry County working down in Del Norte, and vice, you know, there's some coming north to work in Curry. We also share, you know, the economy. They come here to buy their gas. We go south to buy liquor and gamble and cigarettes, or I'm kidding. We go south and spend money down in Crescent City as well. So we partner with neighboring counties oftentimes. We also partner with like the Small Business Administration, who can help provide free education such as teaching businesses about Facebook or accounting strategies, QuickBooks, things of that nature. We partner with CCD, which is economic development organization serving Coos Curry and Douglas, and they help provide like tax abatement dollars if you're in an enterprise zone. We work with other regional economic development groups. South Coast Development Council right now is one that is working quite a bit in the county. They're actually part of a food council that was formed. So Curry and Coos formed a food council, and it was recently kicked off, so we're doing a lot with them on that. They're also going to be, SCDC is also going to be going through the area, they're not sure what they're going to call it yet, but they're business talks at pubs, so it's after hours where you can unwind and businesses can just talk about what's good, what's bad, so we can learn from them to help improve the situation and hopefully make ourselves more inviting to business. They're not sure what they're going to call them yet, if they're going to call them Buzz Biz or Growler Growth or what it's going to be called, but that's a group that does a lot to help us as well. We also work with, you know, the state of Oregon a lot. Business Oregon helps us with infrastructure grants, some other programs that they have, but we do try to tap all the resources that are out there. We don't have the money to be paying site selectors and consultants, so we have to rely on our talents and the services that are available to us.
And part of that goes back to what you said before. We have to be innovators right. In solving our problems. Julie, I'm going to pause for just a second to take a quick station break. This is KCIW's Community Conversation Show with your host today, Connie Hunter. If you enjoy our podcast programs, please go on to our website, kciw.org, and consider becoming a founding member. Back to our community conversation with Julie Schmelzer, Curry County's Director of Administration and Economic Development. So, Julie, let's get back at it.
All righty.
What are the hurdles that you think we have to overcome in the short term and the long term?
Oh, boy. I think the silos that are out there, we need to work together. We need to realize that we're all in this together. And some of the, I don't want to say name calling, but the lack of cooperation doesn't help anyone. We need to, you know, we need to stop competing with each other. We are only, the cities are only 26 miles apart. Why would they compete with each other? A visitor that comes to Gold Beach is going to go to Brookings and go back to Gold Beach. We don't need to repeat Jerry's Jet Boats in every single city, for example. Not that we are, of course, but my point is we need to look at, when we're marketing and looking at the visitor and I'm looking at our economy, we need to look beyond our city boundaries, and we need to look at the whole picture, the big picture, and how everything flows together. I would love to get to the day where we have the artsy little sustainability group up north, and then Gold Beach is more of that wild activity area, and then Brookings is more of your shopping mecca, shopping and art or whatever it becomes. But there's opportunities there for each community to have its own niche if they would just work together. And part of that goes to one of the things I think is a big obstacle is the lack of plans that we have in place. We don't have a clear direction as how we should be going as a county. Cities have plans. I'm not sure. Some of them are very outdated. Some of them are relatively new. But what we lack is how they play together with each other and how those ties, those strings get tied is through a county. I mean, we need as a county to be working better, in my opinion, with our communities. And one way of doing that is making sure that we all agree to what's on paper and where the money's going to be spent and how the money's going to be spent.
So what we're talking about is really creating a sustainability recipe, aren't we? Where everybody works together, everybody cooperates, but we don't compete. But beyond that, that we look to our innovators in not just in the silos, but in some of our unincorporated areas too, because businesses are there. I have another question real quick. What opportunities lie ahead for Curry County? What show us your innovative side.
You know, I was looking at the data on where we rank as far as patents and innovation, and we do very well. So I am optimistic that there is a bright future ahead of us. You know, and I really believe the youth have a lot, can have a big part of that. We have a very, as you know, we have a, our demographics are that we have an older population. We need to do whatever we can to take the children, take the youth that we have, bring them along to be a very positive asset. They are already. Let's take their creativity and do something with that. So that when they're done going to school, they don't leave. And that they stay here. And we know that we know a good portion of them will leave. That's just the way the economy works. But, you know, there's small things you can do that can really engage the youth and make people love where they live. And that's an opportunity that I see, is we need to make people love where they live. We also need to identify with ourselves. You know, we say we're coastal communities, but are we coastal communities? I mean, when you think about it, can you go to any one of our cities and stroll up and down the shore, sit at a tiki bar if you want, or, you know, watch the surfers? You know, it's we live on the coast, but yet we are not embracing the coast. We're not taking advantage of what the coast, the free branding that the coast has given us. We're ignoring it. you know, we're trying to get the heads in beds, get them in the hotel, get them in the shopping centers, and off they go. No, what we need to do is make this a lifestyle for them, make them have an emotional attachment to us, get them to stay here, want to engage with us. And the only way you're going to do that is if we start thinking outside the box and doing something different, taking advantage of the niches that we have, taking advantage of the fact that we're green, taking advantage of the fact that we're on the ocean, taking advantage of the fact that Curry County has always been a little out there, or as they say, we're living on the edge. We are the westernmost point of mainland United States. So, you know, we've got that living on that the edge thing. Capitalize on that. Do some crazy stuff with that. I was reading a book that was talking about a program where people would pitch in like $50 and they'd give grants to children and basically see what that kids would compete and see what they could come up with that was totally off the wall awesome for $50 or $500. And it's a huge tourism draw. I mean, in one of the examples in this book that I was reading talked about is they came up with like a 50-foot high chair or something. I don't even remember. But it's something that said, you know what? We're okay with innovation. We're okay with creativity. We like the fact that you're contributing to our community, and we want to capitalize on that, and we want it to continue, and we want to encourage it. So I would love to see us get there. I think we're on the right path. We've got a lot of the infrastructure in place. We've got great people. You know, I was just telling somebody on the phone, I said, I don't know if the people here are so nice because they need to keep their job or if they're genuinely that nice. And the reality is they are genuinely that nice. I come from the Midwest, and the Midwest is known for being nice. Uh-uh. Curry County kicks butt on the Midwest. I guarantee you. I've been there 50 years old. I know how people can behave, and this is, I'm stunned by it. And why not? Why not take that positive and expand on that? I mean, there's a lot of opportunity out there, Connie, and I just am really grateful I can be a part of that, that I can help bring that along. And hopefully we do get to that point, and hopefully people do start thinking outside of the box, and hopefully they do start embracing, you know, cultural diversity, cultural tourism, all the other good stuff that goes along with that. So we'll see.
I was excited when you started talking about branding, because we have a brand that's a kind of a regional brand, and that's the Wild Rivers Coast. And so we're actually talking about creating a brand that's a sub-brand for our county that includes that recipe beyond just ecotourism, which is basically what Wild Rivers Coast is about, and creating that other sustainability recipe that includes arts and culture. And we know that arts and culture are considered the fifth pillar of economic development. So when I hear you emphasizing that, we know that arts and culture tourism are a huge piece of the puzzle. For example, you and I had a conversation before I actually started recording that had to do with talking about Ashland. And they actually keep track through the Creative Data Project of the real specific things that recognize positive economic impact. We know that $58 million annual economic income because of the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. There's no reason we can't create those things. And I know that you have the same feelings about that. So some of those events that we're creating, like the Bi-Mart concerts, right. Can you tell us more about the events that are coming up that you know will kind of enhance that?
Well, I can tell you about some of them that I've been working on. I'm one of these people who lays awake at night coming up with big ideas. One of the things, we have the Lobster Creek County Park, and the buildings are in repair. They need a lot of repair out there, and we don't have the money in the budget. The parks director, is a really creative person, and he has come up with a really great idea on how to fundraise to repair those buildings. But I wanted to take it a step further and say, okay, we need to do something to help maintain those buildings. So I thought, why not create a fungi festival? We are huge for foraging, mushroom foraging, It's something people do that live here. Share it with the world. There are different festivals throughout the state, Truffle Fest and some of these other things. Why not do it here? We've got a fantastic climate. Number one growth zone, a lot of moisture. We've got a lot of varieties. Let's get people in here. Let's make a festival out of it. And let's have those proceeds go to help Lobster Creek Camp. Another one of the crazy ideas I had was the Fiddlers in the Forest, where kids can basically go and jam and play music and people throw the money in the jar, but make it like a regular thing. And the other one that I'm working on is Bridge Fest. We have the Patterson Bridge. I believe this year marks the 75th anniversary of the dedication of the Patterson Bridge, but we can't afford to light the bridge. So I thought, why not have a bridge bash? Why not have a bunch of grunge bands and garage bands come in? And at the end of the night, you light the bridge, the fireworks go off, and actually start doing something where we don't have to be tapping the taxpayer, but saying, this is an amenity. People want to see it. You know, they question the lights on the bridge. Let's figure out a way to pay for it.
Before we wrap it up here, I want to ask you one more question, because as I'm talking to you, I'm getting enthusiastic. How can our listeners and citizens help out? Help out with your goals and vision for our county.
Connie, what you're talking about is a co-creator. Government cannot do it on its own. We don't have the money. We can't do it. We shouldn't do it. Those days are over. The public needs to engage. They need to be involved. We need people that we can rely on that will help us with projects, will help us, you know, do a lot of the work that needs to be done, especially when you're talking like a festival. Counties shouldn't be putting on festivals, you know, but that is something a group can take on and then have those proceeds go towards something like the Lobster Creek Pony Park. The other thing is people just need to be engaged, period. They need to be aware of what's going on in their government. You know, I once did a talk at a national tourism conference on the fact that what public engagement can do to the tourism economy. I'll give you a really good example. If I come from an area where you have escarpments and you need to protect that view shed. Well, if somebody's putting rules out there saying, nah, you don't need to protect the view shed, people are going to come stop looking at the escarpment. So you need the public engaged in what's actually going on. They need to follow the ordinances and what is changing out there to make sure the things they love are preserved and not destroyed. And that's just one example. But it's basically the public can co-create with government. It's time that we just work together. And you know what? I think the county should lead by example. So, you know, I'm reaching out to anyone that will help. Anyone that has ideas, I want to hear about them. Anyone that wants to just talk what they think is good or bad, I want to hear about that. And I want the help on any projects or crazy ideas anyone has, because I am a risk taker. I do like to think big. And I think that that's where our opportunities lie.
And I think a big part of economic development has to do with inspiring that vision. And I think that you're doing a bang-up job, Julie. Before we wrap it up, is there anything else you want our listeners to know?
You know, love where you live. Embrace it. Get out there. Don't take it for granted. You know, like I said earlier, life is too short. You have to love where you live. And you know what? Make it better for everybody else around you, too.
Julie, if you could do one thing to make Curry County a better place for businesses, what would that be? Last question.
Wow, Connie. I would say break down the silos. It's difficult to get anything done.
I'm glad you reemphasized that. Well, thank you for coming out today. And we're at the Gold Beach Public Library, and they were nice enough to let us use a room for recording. We just want to make sure that we thank Julie Schmelzer one more time, Curry County's Director of Administration and Economic Development. We appreciate all that you are doing for the citizens of Curry County. We'd love to have you back sometime soon.
And I would love to come back. I love sharing my knowledge with the public, and I love trying to get the message out to try and get people inspired and get them helping.
How do they contact you? If people want to get a hold of Julie Schmelzer and send their ideas, how do they do that?
They can contact me at the Board of Commissioners office. That's where I sit pretty much 24/7. I spend a lot of time up there, but they can either, you know, I do recommend they call first because I am out a lot, quite a bit at meetings or talking with people, doing radio interviews. But if they just get, they can get a hold of me at the Board of Commissioners office, and I will either meet them or they can come in and sit down with me, or we can talk on the phone.
Super, Julie. Thanks again for coming out and on a beautiful day and helping us tell the truth about Curry County and the economy. If you'd like to get a hold of KCIW website, people can listen to other podcasts and this one as well. In the near future, we hope that we'll be up and running on the air. And in our efforts to raise money, we hope that people will remember that they can become founding members. Your donations will help grow a station that is responsive, fun, and innovative. Thanks for joining us today. This is Connie Hunter signing off another Community Conversation show.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.